call November 12th meeting order at 6 p.m. And we'll start with roll call.
Karen Ward, present.
Kathy Agin, present.
Stu Martinez, present, and we do have a quorum. Staff, or you present?
I'm here.
We have our person here.
Okay.
Ashley is gone tonight, she's celebrating her birthday. And the mayor, might mention the mayor is in Hawaii.
Mayor, yeah, he's absent by prior arrangement, and also Councilor Jones, I phone call. Okay, next is the Pledge of Allegiance. And Mr. Ward, would you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Are there any added agenda items?
That one, I should have your slide.
What?
No, it's not. Oh, it's not added.
Nope, none. Tonight.
Okay.
We haven't had that.
Okay.
Will I, like, you, am I missing one?
No.
No, it's just this.
Oh.
But that's in our.
Oh, that's on the agenda already. That's a settlement with the DEQ, and that's on our agenda. Thanks.
Yeah.
Next is the consent agenda. Did everybody get a chance to look at that? And.
I so moved to accept the consent agenda. I second it.
They're moved and seconded, and I need to state a conflict of interest with the bill to Wilderness Garvey. With that, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay. Public comment. Public comment. No public comment. Okay. Next is funding request for KITC FM radio.
You remember, this is a continuation. So they were here, and they wanted $2,000 contribution, and which we had it last time. You know, the real, as you know, we don't really have any money in the, called unrestricted. That isn't going to work for transit room tax because that's stretching things way too far. And our non-regulated funds are pretty well gone. So we talked about you could use some of our business fund from business licenses, i.e. business licenses and just our business fund in general. And we have in that fund, we have not spent really any. And it's really comes down to kind of our your city improvement projects business. They have community things, they have forums, and they do interviews with lots of folks. Community has a local radio station. You remember the mayor in the comments, felt pretty was a high priority. So they're asking for $2,000 support. I'm just going to take my direction from you.
How much money do we have in that fund?
Well, that fund, I don't believe we've hardly spent any, and we have $15,900. So, it's whatever. And is this, and one thing we didn't ask him, is this something that is a one-time thing, or is it something that we're going to be asking for every year? you know.
It's a one-time thing. We are trying to put the station on the air at this point in time. We have other fundraising ventures going on. The $2,000 that we're requesting from Lapine City will kind of put us over the top and we can start buying equipment. It will only be a one-time thing. We plan on being fully sustained and substantial by the next year. KITC has now been on the air for 12 years and we have never gone out and asked for money for anything, and we don't anticipate that KNCP will do that either. We'll be soliciting the local businesses and residences here for donations so that we can maintain and keep the station on the air. This one-time thing is to buy the initial equipment, which will cost us approximately between $8,000 and $10,000. That's what it's for.
Okay. Bill, for the record, you're...
Oh, Bill Scally, KITC FM radio.
Thank you. So this is a one-time thing?
It's a one-time shot.
Is this station going to replace the one that's already live?
No. You're going to have your own radio station. It will be called KNCP. That's the call letters that was picked by the community here. It'll be at 107.3. It will be a sister station to the station in Gilchrist. Any live radio station or live programming coming out of the Lapine and or Gilchrist will be transmitted on both stations. At that point, they'll split off and they'll do their own thing. If there are no games that are conflicting with each other, the Grizzly games will be broadcast on both stations. The Hawks games will be broadcast on both stations. If there's a conflict because they're playing at the same time, we'll split them off and the Hawks will be in Lapine and the Grizzlies will be in Crescent. So that's what we had planned on doing, and so that's why the equipment cost a little bit more, so that we can split and combine the stations together and give both communities the added advantage of having a radio station that you can hear from Chamal all the way up to, well, basically the top of Lava Butte. We think it will be a good mix and a good thing for Lapine. Even the little station down there, although you don't get it real well up here, services this area as best we can. Of course, we've done all sorts of live broadcasts. We do the Frontier Days and anything else. We try to do whatever the community needs us to do and asks us to do. So appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Council?
Do you have something to say?
No. I like the concept of both radio stations. I like the fact that it's going to go for miles. I think it's a good idea.
I know that I was looking for something on the radio the other day, and it with my radio, which was brand new, and I got it so maybe I could hear some stations, I still can't. So it would be nice, I think, to have something that's local that people feel connected to, that they can get their information, whether it's emergency or weather or, you know, public events, whatever's going on. So I do support this.
Thank you. I forgot to mention that the requirement from the Federal Communications Commission is that we have an alert system. It's called an EAS, Emergency Alert System. We'll be monitoring all the whole thing from Washington, D.C. all the way wherever an emergency would happen that would cover this area, both NOAA and all the rest of the stuff. That is a requirement, and so that's another piece of equipment that will be purchased and put into the system.
At COIC last week, we were talking about whether we are prepared for emergencies and what they may be and the communication, that type of thing. So I think that's another valuable asset rather than relying on Bend or something else for that. So I support it.
Thank you.
Well, I support it, but I don't know if I can support it financially from the city standpoint. I know last time we discussed where the money would come from. And nothing's changed there.
I mean, our...
15.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, take it out of 15,000, yeah. Okay. And then what happens if we run short on that? Then we have to cut it from somewhere else.
I mean, I think that... I think it depends on... It's a philosophy of where you feel it's appropriate for it to come from if you support it. Well, it's probably two or three things. One is, A, supporting it, like I think what Stu's trying to say is, you know, supporting it is doesn't mean I don't support it. Is it an appropriate expense for the city, and to what level? Because, I mean, there's lots of things that go on in the community that we support, and you support as an individually, or that they're good for the community, but it's not necessarily something the city financially supports. You know, because this is kind of like the bathroom and all the different things that come in here. So you just have to decide where does that fit in your thing, and then what, you know. And I think that maybe what he's struggling with is that on the business fund, you know, this is again, it's for a radio station.
Isn't that a business?
It is. You know, I mean, when we built the fund, I mean, it wasn't that, things like that weren't, it was more helping, you know, if we ever got into helping with the, we have a new sign ordinance, so we've talked before a little bit about, well, could you come up with a program where we help businesses replace their signs, and maybe we help with a small grant. In other words, if they have to replace a $3,000 sign because of our new ordinance, we would incentivize them, or we could give them $500 or $1,000, maybe do that. You know, it's those kinds of things. I mean, it was never talked about a radio station or newspaper ads or, you know, so, but that's why you're elected. There's no right or wrong answer, you know, and if you're wrong, everyone will tell you you're wrong, and if you're right, everyone will tell you you're wrong. So, you know, and so you really need to feel good about it. Hey, you know, somewhere that you want. We can't approve everything that comes in here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a given.
But for the emergency part of it, I think that would add to what we need here.
You could also don't have to give 2,000. You could say 1,000. You could give 500. You know, you can also say, you know, we just don't feel comfortable if you're trying to get to, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I am in total support of the concept. I deal in emergency management all the time, and Bill and I have talked about this, and it is a vital service that his nonprofit radio station would serve the community and the surrounding area. There's no doubt about that. We also have, you know, the emergency system through the Deschutes County Sheriff's Office. I subscribe to that right now. You can do it on your cell phone. You can do it on your landline. We have other radio stations that, you know, broadcast the same information that we would receive through your station.
That's correct. Yeah. Each radio station is required, if it's licensed by the Federal Communications Commission, of which this one would be, you're required to have an EAS alert system and have each and every person trained on how to handle that system if it goes off. It is a system that is designed, has not worked yet, but it is designed to if the President of the United States declares a national emergency, he can take over every radio station in the United States. They've run several tests, it doesn't work, but they're still working on it. And because of that, we've had to increase our capabilities by another $3,000 worth of equipment. It's called a CAP system, which is done by the internet. What Tom is going to tell you is that we are internet providing. Obviously, we have the internet, and we also broadcast on that internet. So we have a stream that goes around the world. So we can get to the people that need to be gotten to. They would have a choice of of how to pick it up if it was a localized emergency. And as the counselor Hagan said, that you would be able to get it on radio, not trying to get something that you cannot get. It will be strong here in this area. This radio station is 3 times the power of KITC. The FCC has granted us 3 times the power, so.
Okay, and you mentioned this equipment isn't working right now.
The federal equipment isn't right. Working.
Is that included in what you're trying to buy now?
That we have to purchase that equipment that they say will make it work.
Even though it doesn't work?
Even though it doesn't work.
Yay, government.
Well, right there, I mean, if the city's going to help pay for equipment that doesn't work.
Well, they claim it's going to work this year. That's what they claim. They've had 2 tests on it, and I'd love to tell you, Stu, that it worked. It did not.
Right.
But we will keep testing as long as they want to keep testing.
But that's on the national.
And, you know, but
that's thing, yeah.
Right. But if you're required to have it, and it doesn't work, and you're asking the city to help pay for equipment that doesn't work, I can't, now that part I can't support.
I'll tell you what, we'll take that $3,000 and we won't spend your money on that. How's that? It will work someday, I think.
I'm sure it will.
So does Cover Oregon, too. So.
I wasn't going to say anything.
All right, you guys ready to make a decision on that?
Well, I'm torn because I hear what you say, but I still think it's important. I guess if we're looking at the money, I'm not sure what $1,000 would do. And at that point, do we say just $1,000 rather than $2,000 and come back next year for another $1,000 or something? I'm not comfortable with that, I guess. I guess I would either want to go... Boy, I don't know. This is tough for me because I think we need the radio. And I would like to see... I would like to see the 2,000. I hear Stu, and it's rolling around in there.
I'd like to make a motion that we give them the $2,000 that they need with the guarantee from Bill that he will make it work.
As soon as possible.
How about a guarantee? I don't spend your $2,000 on that equipment.
That's agreeable. That's agreeable. I second it.
Okay. Well, that's what the deliberation, that's what it's all about.
Well, the mayor only votes in a tie, so.
The mayor's not here.
That's you.
And
I don't know how that works.
We knew where you would go.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Name? That's no vote.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you can vote since you're not. I don't know. That's the first time that's happened. But our charter says the mayor
votes in.
He doesn't vote unless there's an up and down, and they're both for it. So
yeah.
He doesn't need to vote.
But I have to go.
Well, but I think just to go ahead. We're going to vote so to make sure it's. If it's not needed, it's not needed, and therefore if it's there, it's there.
Yeah.
Because our charter, says the mayor. You're chairing the meeting. I don't know if that means, because the charters don't go into detail. Does that mean that you are the mayor, you're the acting the mayor, you're filling into the position for the mayor? So I would just vote.
But I'm not elected as the mayor.
Yeah,
so yeah. Okay, I'm good. I'll vote no.
Okay, so pass 2-1, or it passed 2-0.
Yeah, however you want to look at it.
Either way, it passed.
Yeah, it passed. That's what we're at.
Well, you could have abstained, you know, if you wanted to.
Thank you.
Okay. I like the way that turned out.
You do?
Thanks.
All right. Thank you. I don't want to get tired and said it.
No. Next is item 8, liquor license.
Because it was a new establishment, we really don't get many new ones, and I thought that new ones, we should always come here and have it rather than mostly we get all renewals, you know, they've already been. So I just thought, let you guys vote on it in case one ever came along that you didn't want. It kind of gives you a chance to ask more questions. But this is the Italian restaurant that opened right next door here, and they're looking for a beer license. It's not too controversial, obviously. It's not.
So it's not for hard liquor, it's just for beer.
It
wine.
Is.
How about wine?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that comes with it. Beer and wine. So, anyway, I mean, I would have approved it. I basically did approve it, other than let you guys approve it. And there would be no reason not to. So, just a formal motion.
I make a motion that we grant them a liquor license.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Next is the Wickiup Station lift.
This is, Patty, did you put the...
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We've talked about it before. We actually voted once, but it's been long enough. This is to hire Brad Baird and his company, Anderson Perry, as our will be our engineer on that. And let's see the packets. I sent that to you this morning, Patty. Yeah, it is.
I didn't get anything like that.
A different one than what?
Well, no, it's the project's the same. I actually just had sent the actual project. Well, it says sent at 12:31.
Huh.
And it is the signed addendum because he had signed it.
Oh.
So that's the actual agreement, the contract.
Oh, I thought it was from the, thought the one you sent me was the DEQ one.
No. Basically what we're doing is, we've hired Anderson Perry, who did the original review, and so we just did an addendum, so we didn't have to re-advertise it. And so Jeremy, I drew it up, then Jeremy reviewed it, and he says it's all fine. It's a $32,500 contract to Anderson Perry. So that's what I need you to approve, is a $32,500 contract addendum to Anderson Perry to do the work on the Wickiup lift station. And that will get that thing running better than it does now, replace things, and it will be big enough to cover cable, correct? With nothing, I don't believe much changes, and that way a little bit. But it, when this is done, it'll actually will be big enough for cable.
Excuse me, Rick. I do have that.
Okay. Thanks. So that's the question. We approved it once doing the project and all of it. This is just the specifics of the $32,500 contract addendum with Anderson Perry.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember that. Looking at.
And I thought he was going to make copies of them too.
That's okay.
So we just need a formal motion to approve
the addendum
to hire Anderson Perry for $32,500 to do the engineering on the Wickiup station repairs.
I so move.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Discussion?
No.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Next is the settlement agreement with the Department of Environmental Quality.
Yes. Well, you all know that the DEQ, you know, read. That's in your addendum.
Yeah.
And then there's an addendum in your...
Oh, it's that one. Okay, that's what
Yeah, Well, what happened is since we sent this out to you last week, we actually got the DEQ's signed off actual offer. And as you know, originally they had gave us a violation of $1,125 for not filing the reports timely at our sewer plant, and which is true, other than that they, you know, they were coming after the sewer district, which doesn't exist anymore. Those, so, but they could have redone it. And then they had us for violations that happened before the city owned it, things like that. We argued then, we went to them and argued over several of these points. So they recalculated it to a $525 fine. And then they have a program that says they will waive 80% of the fine if we will put it toward something that reduces, is good, well, depending, in our case it's sewer, but if it's good for the environment and reduces, it helps with something. It could have been to the school. I mean, it could have been to the fire department to buy some piece of equipment. 80% of $525 is not a lot of money. So, you know, it was going to amount to $400 or something. But if I figure if we're going to have to pay the $525, we at least could keep $420. Mm-hmm. So I submitted an application to them to fund, when we do our updates for the Kegel area for the sewer and water master plans. We have our master plans that are 6 and 8 years old. We are going to get a grant, hopefully, that's going to fund 90% of the update. That'll be a $40,000 grant. But we'll spend $4,000 or $5,000 of our own money to match it. So I went to them and said, look, since that's going to take 200 sewer systems off the groundwater, which that obviously helps things, keeps solid, you know, septic systems out of drain fields and so on. And we're going to spend several thousand dollars. Why don't you use that as our, let us use it. So that's what they did. So this is an order that says it's reduced to $529 and 80% of it, $420, we won't have to pay because we're doing the other project. So we'll be out of pocket $105 to the DEQ. And there's more money spent on doing this than, but everybody feels better at all levels. So, and we have, and Scott and I worked on changing the systems, and you know, we let some things fall through the crack, and you know, it's one of those cracks that had been there for a while, on and off. And if you look over the history of the district, the district's back into 07, 08, or 09, it was kind of a little spotty turning them in. But it's a very big deal as a requirement to the system. It has nothing to do with the, I think it's important, it has nothing to do with the operation of, you know, how septage is treated or anything. It is a paperwork issue that everyone with a license for this type of facility, you have to turn them in, and they go in most likely into a file. Then if there's ever a problem, they can go back and pull it up. Well, we submitted them, but they're late. So it's a paperwork issue, and they were late. But we are assured, Scott, right?
Yeah, we're all over that.
He's got November's in, right?
Correct.
So we won't have it. You know, it's more embarrassing than anything, and I think, you know, the public reads it. And then, as you always talk about, it, people in all over the region then think that, you know, they just see septic. Mm-hmm. And I just, yesterday, had someone I hadn't seen in a long time. I was at a veterans event, and they came up to me and said, you know, how's that septic stuff down in Lapine still out, you know? It just is...
Does it go away?
No. So, anyway, what I need you to approve is the settlement agreement with the DEQ as proposed in this order.
That's this one.
Yes.
I so move that we accept the DEQ settlement of go $105?
Well, just the agreement. The agreement.
Just the agreement.
As proposed.
As proposed, okay. A second.
Been moved to it and seconded to approve the DEQ proposal settlement. Discussion any further? No. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I do have a question. Will this go into the paper then, Rick, that it's been settled and no big deal?
I don't know what they'll put in the paper. The DEQ sends out a press release, and so they'll probably, who knows if they'll call. You know, the original fine was front page news. The settlement, it's hard to get it on page 12, now, in a 10-page paper. So, they won't,
We'll broadcast it.
You know, sometimes it's better if it never comes back up again.
After the transfer of funds.
On the part of the okay. All right. Next, other matters.
Do you have any engineering news?
Working on the landscaping and lighting plan for the first week and Highway 97.
Yeah. So we're starting to work here on. You know, is ODOT's out for bid right now on the First Street project. So that's actually out for bid, and so people are, you'll start bidding on that here down the road. And so we're now working on the landscaping side of that for the street lights and all of those good things. And we'll see where that goes. And so we met with the landscape architect. She was down, Eric, and we met out there and walked around. And then she's got a rough draft. So we'll have something maybe in January, right?
Yeah, before that.
Or December. I mean, the December meeting, we might have something to show here, kind of an idea of, you know, the type of thing we're thinking about. It's kind of like this with some changes, and, you know, for various reasons, but the same principle of what we just did outside. Then we'll go to try to get some funding through ODOT on that. And I think that's all. In engineering, our planning, well, I'll do that in our staff report, so that's, I guess, nothing else.
Okay. Then next we will have public comment. We're moving along. Okay, no public comment. Staff comments.
We are going to, I changed the date, but I would make this up. One of the things I'm trying to do is, as we're doing more of the code stuff and you know, doing our own planning, I am inviting all the realtors, because they're our first, they're the first person that talks to people looking for property, buying a house, renting a house. They're property managers, and they may manage houses with code issues and all of that. And, you know, they're giving advice to people. So I thought it would be good for us to occasionally meet with those folks, because otherwise they pick up tidbits and gossip. So I put together a thing we're going to do. I called it kind of a roundtable lunch here, and we're going to do that on December 3rd for an hour and a half. And the discussion topics were kind of a meet and greet, so they get to meet us and Ashley, introduce our new planning director who was here today. And then we're going to talk about our junk and the kind of debris ordinances, so they start to understand what we're trying to do with debris and junk type of stuff. The junk sounds so terrible, but actually that's the term everyone uses. So it sounds like a slang, but I guess everyone knows what it is. Now, junk may be in the eye of the beholder, but we have a general understanding of junk. Probably people think everyone I have is junk. And then rental property issues. I'm trying to get these people to understand, you know, about the rental issues and what the responsibilities of these property managers are with these properties. And then find out what's on their mind, questions, but and comments and things. So I want to maybe do it a couple, three times a year, because they, and we'll get, we're going to invite the Sun River ones down. These are our ambassadors, and so yeah, it's the first time. And the real, the Realtor Association is going to send this out, and we're going to do it on December 3rd. It'll be an hour and a half.
Is that for counselors too, or just realtors?
No, if you want to come, you can. But if we're not advertising it as a meeting, or, you know, but you're certainly welcome to come down if you want. Our planner was here today, and that's working pretty good. You know, we had a, I came back with, he had a couple people that came in and met with them, so that's, you know, just, they know that they're going to be here. So that's, I've talked to the, I met with the Rodeo Association, and we're going to try to get a zone change going for them over on their property, so the property they're on, that can get zoned properly for the rodeo. Because right now it's zoned residential, always has been. But since they're going to be there a while, we'll get it zoned right. So they met with me on that and are looking for some support. We will be, and I, did they call you, Stu? Did anyone from the road call you yet?
They, in passing, we had a conversation.
Recently?
Yes, no. Monday.
Yeah, they asked for some support for... They're trying to do something with maybe a bigger, a big name entertainment for the rodeo. And this year, July, they have it on Thursday night, because the way they're doing it is Friday, Saturday, Sunday's a rodeo. They're going to do this kind of a kickoff and want to know if we could help them with that. And obviously, it's a decision that you guys will make. But
it's like $5,000.
Yeah. So they're just trying to find a figure out where they want to go with all of that. And then also the zone change. And I imagine that we'll be in December is when we'll, before that I'll find out more and find out our funding options to do that, stuff like that. We have a little more flexibility there because you could use transient room tax. Okay. Because that's truly bringing people from out of town into a concert. So, you know, so we have more options than we had with them.
Didn't they do this last year?
Well, they talked about it. They called me. They, that was too rushed,
right?
And trying to tear the stage down and get ready for the rodeo because it, the way the holiday hit, that wouldn't have worked. And I just was thinking that it was too rushed. So they decided eventually that that wouldn't have worked. And but these acts are $25,000 if you get kind of, you know, top, kind of more top entertainers type. Or I mean, you're not talking. Brad Paisley. I mean, those are no. So there, but they're good. They're songs that you would recognize that are out there. Sometimes they're the ones that are rising up, and then there's some $10,000 to $15,000 crowd. And I think they're realistic on the amount of attendance they're going to have. I was impressed with what they're saying. You know, a lot of times people come in and are going to blow smoke and tell you, "I'm going to draw 5,000 people down here," and they were very realistic to what they could draw. You know. And a ticket price point that, you know, you, they know they're not going to get 30 or 40 or 50 bucks ahead, you know. So they understand kind of what they need to do. So. And let's see. We today spent two hours on the sewer water. You know, we're doing that big rate study. So be prepared for some sessions ahead, I think. We were meeting again, I think next Wednesday, again, we haven't confirmed it, but we will be meeting again. We're having now, we're moving into these 2 and 3 hour sessions on going through, because we're having to understand it much deeper, obviously, and technical, and we're trying to, you know, make changes where we think, and then ultimately the next step will be, once this all gets done, we'll, and that probably is in January, I would think, the entire time we... And what we'll do is we'll have a 3 hour session here with, I think what I was thinking about maybe is getting the council, the planning commission, public works committee, you know, and spend some time, because we've got to get people to understand all the how technical this is at a deeper level than the newspaper is going to report and that the average person is going to care about, because all they're going to care about mostly is their bill. But getting to their bill is more complicated than meets the eye. So today we were going to do twice as what we did. So it derails you quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's educational. What would you say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we didn't finish water and we barely started sewer today.
And we didn't get into STCs. So, yeah, you know, the water was looking pretty good as far as, you know, we're not too bad in a sense. We'll have to adjust some rates a little bit, not at all what, you know, that we were talking about before, you know, so that one won't be, but even there's going to have to be some other little, how we're doing this. And those recommendations ultimately the council will have to approve. But we actually had every single house and business in an Excel spreadsheet of what currently they would pay, what they would pay under a new system, and what they would pay with a rate increase under the new system. So we could, and then what percent changes it was. And so we could kind of highlight where we see, you know, what jumps out at us. And, you know, one of the things that we're learning, when you go to flow-based, it's a meter size. And when no one cared about meter size, I think some people just put in big meters. Mm-hmm. But under a flow-based system, your base is based off the meter size. So I could take two identical houses. I mean identical. If one had a 5/8 meter and one had a 3/4 meter, maybe your water bill is going to be $32 a month for the 5/8, and the 3/4 $38 or $39 a month. And it's because the bigger the water meter, the more water you use. It, like he was saying, you know, the bathtub only fills so full. The washing machine only fills so full. It's that sprinkler outside. If you're going to go out water for an hour, or if you go downtown and you come back 4 hours later, if you had a 5/8 meter compared to a 3/4, more water went out. And if it's hitting the sidewalk, more is running down the road. And so what most cities all put in is 5/8 meters on a house. But we have some people put in 3/4 meters. And what's interesting, Scott was pointing out, those are the ones we get most of our complaints from. So it started to register me, why is a house with a 5/8 meter not complain and one with a 3/4 meter does? And they would argue their house is no bigger than anyone else's. They aren't. But when you have more water coming in, you do, it just, more
that
gallons.
That eighth of an inch in the meter size is 1.5 times larger.
Yeah.
A 3/4 inch meter is 1.5 times, will flow 1.5 times more water than a 5/8 meter.
So we can take the middle school with, how many kids in the middle school? 300? Something like that. 300, it's on a 2-inch meter.
It's on that problem.
Go up, right, it's 2-inch, right? Go up to the trailer park that's complained a lot out of Wickia, a 4-inch meter.
Wow.
So, you know, the guy was in here today, I said, well, the fact is, I doubt you even need 1.5-inch meter. But under the thing, it may be cheaper for them to go out and spend $5,000 actually trading out the meter.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, believe me. I love it because it's really getting you into how this all works. And then, of course, you get to sewer, and then when you do a flow-based and all of it, yeah.
Are neighborhoods consistent, or is it?
Your neighborhood's 5/8. You're 5/8. We have a neighborhood that's 3/4.
Wow.
So, and then Stu, we didn't look that up. Stu, you're a 1-inch. At your house.
Water basin.
Water
basin. And it doesn't even make sense.
We won't broadcast.
I'd like to have a
conservative. Well, we don't have these phones.
I never complained because I didn't want to, you know.
But when we move to more flow based, see, all of it becomes more important because the minimum is based off, you're going to have, say right now it's $25 minimum. Everyone's the same. But under a flow-based, if you're a 5/8, you might, because say it goes up to $30. So the 5/8, you're a 30. If you're an inch,
that minimum is
quite a bit more.
Yeah, 48.
It could be a four. It could double.
Wow.
Because you can float. Because remember.
Well, yeah, it's just your fire hoses.
Yes.
It's the same concept.
Because we have to provide water for what someone could use. In other words, you know, we don't go around saying there's only, say you got a 5-bedroom house, you know, they need a 1-inch meter, but only grandma's in there, which she doesn't use much water. But the fact is, the next person that buys it has 10 people living in it. So we have to have the capacity in the line in the street, the water tank, the pumps and the water rights that matches the type of meters and the volume that you could use. Because everyone changes how many people live in a house and what goes on. So if you have an apartment building that needs a 3-inch meter, we got to provide that much water if we get a business in the industrial park. We don't really care. We just know what we're going to have to maximum provide them. You have a 1-inch meter. You have absolutely no reason for a 1-inch meter.
No.
But you could go, how many much bigger is that than a 5/8? Two and a half times. You could flow 2.5 times what her house would flow.
Can I open a boarding house?
If you could build it, you wouldn't have to get a bigger meter. You could put 3 or 4 apartments back there and you would not need a bigger water meter. So, anyway, since...
That does sound interesting.
It is very interesting, and you know, there'll be winners and losers. And,
some of that, I mean, we're 3 or 4 or 6 meetings into it, and was a revelation today. It sent us off with more work we need to do before the next meeting.
Wow.
Yeah, little things. You know, the school, we were looking at kind of what it was going to do to Alpine High School, and we were like, then he was like, they only have a 2-inch meter. I'm like, what? Well, they have 3 2-inch meters.
Oh.
So, yeah, so those are the things we're cleaning up. So we're going to go out and make sure the Lapine High School has its 3 meters. And we got a couple people with 2 meters. And then that changes everything. And then the other big issue was the number of new, our growth. Mm-hmm. You're trying to project out 20 years of growth. And do we get 10 new accounts a month or a year? Do you get 20? And it's a big difference because that's the demand. It spreads the revenue out over 10 more customers. So it adds revenue. Our fixed costs are the same. So, and they had too high of a growth rate. You know, today, that was one of the things they felt they did, but they took it off the county growth rate. But the county growth rate is higher than Lapine will be because you're getting all those rural areas around Bend and Redmond, Tumalo. We're not growing that fast. And if we overestimate the growth, it shows higher incomes will be short money. So, anyway, look for more ahead. It'll be the hardest thing that we've ever done. Because it's a complicated issue. It involves money. And you're setting things out for a few years. So you'll need to be prepared. I'm trying to pre-warn you for it.
As long as I get my new meter.
Yeah. You have to buy your own. Yeah.
Someone got that.
You have to buy your own.
$5,000.
Okay, that's all.
Well, thank you.
Take a long shower. Where are we, since we're on staff comment, with the sheriff meeting with the...
Can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Where are we at with the sheriff meeting with the Huntington Meadows group?
Did you guys meet with him?
He met with Susan, was it a week ago, Monday? And then they're going to have a meeting at the library around 10 o'clock on the 19th, I think it is. And he may be there. Well, I guess it's just not solid. I don't know.
We did have a meeting with them. I met with the Huntington homeowners.
Yeah. Okay.
And we had, around the table there, we had 12 or... Yeah, I mean, it turned out pretty good, really.
Yeah.
And we had a good discussion. And, you know, I think I thought it was educational for everyone. It was educational for me to hear from them, and then they kind of things that, I don't know, do you feel that they learned some things about how things operate?
I think so.
There were, some of them wanted things we couldn't do. And I ran into a couple of them since then, and they were all seemed very happy. I mean, may not like what the answers were, but they understood.
Mm-hmm.
Some at least paid attention to
it. Yeah, and ours were nothing to do with law enforcement. It was more neighborhood. It's parking on the road. And,
yeah, signs. Where the city could step up or that couldn't. And I think that was good because Rick was able to lay it out. That's not a city issue, or this is something you could take up with the sheriff, or, you know, so it was good that I think they did get answers and at least some guidance rather than everything just building and building and building till it's gone crazy. So, but the sheriff did say, which I think helped a lot of people, that we in Huntington Meadows have not had any break-ins, where there are several. There's like a thing going on right now in La Pine where there are several big break-ins going on. So that was reassuring.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Council comments.
What's the speed limit here on 97 going out of town?
55.
Yeah. Like, let's say we're back up at the La Pine Inn.
Okay.
And does the speed limit run after the signs for the kids that say if they exist, you slow down to 20 miles an hour? Does it speed up to 35, or is it a higher speed?
It's whatever. I couldn't tell you where the line is.
It's 35 just this side of that building over there, by the red, the old building that's falling apart.
Right,
tavern.
Yeah, it's just right about there. Then it's 35 to get to the bushes over here, and that's 55.
Mm-hmm. Driving much faster than 35.
Yes, they are.
Could be yes.
Okay.
I don't know how fast they're driving.
I was behind somebody the other day, and they were moving 42.
Oh.
It's only 7, but still, it's a lot more speed than I do. And it's a big issue right now with the people. They think that they drive too fast out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that when you do the when the street light comes in and they start redoing the sidewalks and things, they'll probably do an analysis at that point on any new speeds. You know, whether or not they take it down to 30 or 25 in the middle of town. You know, that'll be based on, you know, how they do it. That's usually when they do it. I don't see it in the meantime, but they'll build that signal out there, because that's going to stop people every few minutes. Mm-hmm. Every minute, you'll be coming to a stop.
Yeah.
And then you start up, you tend to go slower, because you're starting from a dead stop. By the time you get to the Pine Inn, you aren't going to probably be going as fast, unless you happen to hit the green and come through. But, you know, that'll get...
And that was my basic answer. But I wanted to make sure that I had gone the right place with it. Is that it will slow down as soon as the construction starts.
Well, I'm just saying it will have an effect of slowing it down. I'm not saying the speed limit will be lower.
Once you stop, it takes you a little while to get back up to big speeds.
Yeah. And then you have other cars coming in.
I thought that would give them a little hope.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, speeds are an issue in every town. Everybody wants speeds reduced everywhere, but the people running the roads want to also move traffic. So it's the balance of moving traffic. I always say is people want to, you know, if it's in front of my house or in front of my business, you know, 15 miles an hour is adequate. But as I'm headed to Portland, nothing gripes me more than one of those 25 mile an hour zones in some town with no driveways. So, you know, it's very personal to people.
Yes.
When I was on the State Marine Board, and I was chair of the State Marine Board, so we set all the speed limits on lakes. And never forget, people will come in all the time, and they would same thing. And they buoys. We have a buoys out. You hit across the line, it's 10 mile an hour buoy. Well, what they do is they go hook onto the buoy. They hook onto the cable, and they yank them up river, 50 yards. And you always knew who moved them. So there's a houseboat. And they're coming, the launch is 10 miles away. They want to go 80 miles an hour in their boat till about 10 yards in front of their hole. Then they move it to 10 miles an hour. So that they're on the 10 mile an hour side. Now, the problem is there's houses another mile, 2 and 5 miles down the lake. Now, then they're supposed to go 10 miles an hour for the next 5 miles. They pick up the buoy and move it down in front of their house. It's the same principle. I want to go like hell, but not in front of my house.
Got it.
Yeah. There's really not much more philosophy to it.
No, there isn't.
Good question.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
You should get a talk show on the radio station for your investment. Tell those stories. It would be great.
Yeah.
I just have one comment, and that's on the Bob Shotwell tribute that was held on Monday.
Yes. Very good. Very good.
It was
very good.
Excellent.
Well, okay. I'm glad to hear that reassures me
it
that it
tears
was
also.
Something that was
yep.
worthwhile for the community.
It was.
Did some people turn out?
Oh, yeah.
I would guess there was probably about 120 people there.
Were the kids there, too?
Kids were there. I saw some of them today as being principal for a day. Some of them were there because they forgot to get their teacher's permission to be at the event on Monday.
Oh.
So they were getting tardy penance today. But Bob enjoyed it. He there was a couple pictures where he got a little emotional. And there was a British colonel there that gave a sword
presentation
for him.
Yeah. Wow. That was nice.
And he brought his bagpipe sergeant with him, who I later saw on the news because they were in the parade in Bend. And that gentleman was incredible. He just, because I was a nervous wreck the whole time, you know, worrying, making sure, trying to make, you know, God, is the lights going to come on? Is the speaker going to come on? And he came up in his British accent and just calmed everybody down. Mm-hmm. And then he drew his sword out and said, if anybody gives you any crap, I'll take your head off. But the choir sang the national anthem. They sang Happy Trails to You, which was Bob's favorite song. Yeah. And his wife wasn't able to make it. She was homesick. So he was really worried about that. But all in all, I thought it went very well. The NROTC folks were there. The kids were there. The American Legion Honor Guard took part. It was pretty incredible, I thought. But to hear you folks comment on it reaffirms it for me. So Matt Montgomery wants to do it every year now. Maybe not on this big of scale, but he wants to bring something in for the students so that they learn what Veterans Day is all about.
That's a good idea.
And so we'll try to work on that. So the next one that's coming up is the one in December. It's the Wreaths Across America. It's another honor to veterans, which will be at the Senior Center on December 13th, which is a Saturday. But so that's all.
Thank you, Stu, for your work on that Shotwell thing.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He deserved it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they all do.
Yeah.
They all do.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and the other one that was there was Bob Maxwell. the only Congressional Medal of Honor winner in Oregon, who actually, you hear about it in the movies, they throw themselves on the grave. He actually did. And that's how he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor.
The oldest living.
Yes. Okay. And Mayor's not here for comments, so I'll entertain a motion.
We will meet again in our December meeting, because it's a Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. We decided we're going to stay home so you can get your turkey stuff. But I'll probably be here that day if you want to come down and say hi.
Okay. Bring a sandwich.
I'm going to be gone the week of like December 4th or whatever. 5th.
Monday's the 5th.
The 5th. I'm going to the Pac-12 Championship. But the only reason I'm going is because it's on the way to Las Vegas where I'm going to a convention. Yeah. It has nothing to do with the city. But I will be in Las Vegas. I had to be there Sunday, Monday through Thursday. So I will. So I figured the Pac-12 Championship was on the way from Redmond, San Francisco, where the Pac-12 Championship is, over to Las Vegas.
That's on the way.
So it's on the way.
I'm going to be in Las Vegas for the tournament November.
Oh, you're.
Oh, the Beavers are in the tournament.
What term are they in?
It's at the MGM Grand.
Well, it's not football.
No, it's basketball. Not football.
Well, they are wanting something. So, another thing, I'll just introduce. Some of you might wonder the guy in the back.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Yeah.
You'll remember immediately, Dallas Brown. Mm-hmm. Remember, ran for county commissioner in 2000 when he was a kid.
Right? Yeah, 2010.
So tell them what you're doing, Dallas.
Well, I'm at Portland State University, midway through a master's in public administration. We are assigned to study a city under 50,000 people, and I thought I'd come and study my friends here in the Pine and see how the city's going. And I have to say, from just what it was a couple of years ago, there's been a lot of great things happening here. So kudos to everybody in this room that made that possible. But it's great to be back and to see what's going on.
Tim's on the dissertation.
Yeah, so he emailed me a few days ago, and he's living in Portland, going to PSU, and everything. He wanted to know if he could come up and meet me, so we met. And I met our planning director here today, so he came in and he sat down with us and just got to hear us talking about projects and things as we were doing it. And then that's why I was down here just at 5 minutes till 6, because we were up there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we get into politics, and then that takes a while.
That would happen.
So no meeting the end of this month?
No.
No.
And no meeting the end of December?
No. We might, right. In fact, what I think we'll do is have it the middle of the month, so we split it and do it on the 17th, because I'll be gone. And so we could just split it, do it on the 17th, so the middle of the month for the bills and everything. Because if I'm not here, under our system of review and everything, that will be hard. Mm-hmm. Keep everything accurate.
So 17.
Yeah, and on our contract finance person, Brenda, like she was here today, you know, you don't see her, but she will, I'll have her come down sometime for a thing, but she comes in and she came in and spends a few hours and does the higher level for our finance stuff. So it's actually, all that's working good, and it's saving us quite a bit of money doing things this way, and it actually works out very good. Could be the planner's going to have to work more, and then you're to a degree, maybe one of them down the road, I will work less, take less pay, because if you think about it, once you're managing everything right, it's like really it's the planner working on the planning issues, and it's the finance person doing those. As long as, and if those are all running, that's, you know, so you'd be better off having the planner working more and me less. You know, so I give up my money, send it to him. But we'll see after the first year and start looking at it. But because that's where that specialty is. I'm not a planner, I'm not a certified planner, I'm not a licensed planner, and I don't have a degree in planning. So that's, and no city manager is. Mm-hmm. So we need to put the, you know,
money where the need is.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's all ultimately controlled by our budget, you know, and you know, there's not, I don't need to, there's nothing, if we don't have the money to spend on things or to do, then you don't necessarily need me sitting here. So.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Aye. Thank you all.
Tomorrow we have the LED meeting.
Yes.
10.
And I wanted to know.